We're joined right now by the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, his third season as head coach. T-Wolves, 24-25. They're in ninth in the Western Conference. They play New Orleans tomorrow night. We are joined by Chris Finch. Chris, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
Good to have you on, Coach. Nice to talk to you. So why don't you bring me up to date? You're going to play your 50th game of the season tomorrow night. We're already past the midway mark of the season. So how would you personally characterize the team's level of play this year, especially since you have been without so many guys, including Karl Anthony Towns, for the past 7 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'd say we're still highly inconsistent. You know, we're struggling to find consistency, but to your point, we've had a lot of roster movement with guys in and out, injury, illness, long-term illnesses, short-term injuries, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're just, you know, I've said it from the time that Cat kind of went down. We're trying to keep our head above water until we can either get healthy or find a new rhythm. And, you know, we're doing that. But, you know, last night's performances, like last night, just, you know, kind of let ourselves down at the most inopportune time. But A lot of season left. You know, still able to catch a run here. Going into last night, we won 7 out of 10. But you know, we've been very streaky overall.
You know, I really respect and appreciate that response. And you guys have played well of late, Chris. What about Anthony Edwards? He had 31 last night. He leads your team in scoring. Being the top pick overall obviously comes with enormous expectations, both on and off the floor. How do you think he's done in managing those enormous expectations? And then what does he mean, not just to the team, but to the organization?
Yeah, I mean, he's a huge part of our organization. I mean, he's a leading light. He's something that everybody in the market is excited about, not just the way he plays, but also his personality and the promise that he holds for us moving forward. We think he's taken a big step forward this season in his personal consistency of performance. Like, you know, he used to be way more up and down. This year he's found more consistency with the injuries. Like, his responsibilities have kind of been increased. He's met that challenge. You know, now it's just all about kind of developing all the professional habits and all the right approaches that all young players need to learn when they come into the league. You know, what does it really take to win at a high level? Like, what's that look like every night? It's not just the highlight plays. It's not just the big numbers. There's a lot of, like, little things you got to do, whether it's, you know, your rest, your approach, the way that you eat, the way that you take care of yourself, like the messages that you send to your teammates. These are all things that I think, you know, are still areas of growth. But his overall, like, willingness to learn, be coached, and adjust and adapt is impressive, and it's something that we really enjoy coaching.
Chris Finch joining us, head coach of the Minnesota T-Wolves, breaking it down. So you were really aggressive in the offseason, of course, in making that move for Rudy Gobert. What do you know, Chris, about him maybe now that perhaps you did not know before you made that move?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, when you work with someone every day, of course, to your point, you're going to learn a lot more about him. He's a really smart basketball player, you know, has a high IQ. I think the first part of the season with Rudy, we learned a lot from him, like things we maybe could steal from their experience in Utah. And the last half has been kind of getting him to adjust a little bit more to us, you know. So that's been an interesting dynamic. Offensively, we feel like he's able to do a little bit more than maybe they let him do in Utah. We try to treat him as just another guy in the system and get him the ball. And that's been a bit of a challenge for us, is like consistently finding him in the flow of our offense, because he gives us a type of player that we've not had in the 2 years that I was here. So that's taken a little bit of a time. I think before he was out with this latest injury, we were really in a good groove with him. Last night he came back, and it's kind of a readjusting to that all over again. So I think that's maybe one of the biggest things, Jim, is just like this continual readjustment, you know, with him and as he's come in and out of the lineup and talking with some of the people in Utah. You know, it took a year for those guys, some of those players, to get comfortable with how to play with him, how to share the ball with him, where he liked it, when he liked it. And just so it's one of those works in progress.
So, I mean, to that point, Chris, it's kind of, if you have everybody, it still takes time to get them in the system and get them used to each other and used to you and used to them. And that's if you have them in the system. But there's so many guys that are not in there. I would imagine the system's going to run a hell of a lot better if Cat's out there every single night. He's such a unique talent, for instance. But he's contended with adversity. He's dealt with a long illness in the offseason, sidelined since late November with that calf strain. So how do you go about trying to fill that void? And is there any timetable yet for his return?
Yeah, there's no timetable there. We're still really bullish on that partnership, though. You know, the thing that we continually point to is, you know, at the time that he went out, he was responsible for more assisted baskets to Rudy than anybody else on our team. The rhythm between those two guys was kind of almost automatic. It was, you know, getting everyone comfortable around them was probably the biggest piece of the puzzle that we had to work on. We've had Kyle Anderson has stepped in and played amazing for us. You know, kind of as a utility infielder. Sometimes he plays the point, sometimes he plays the four, sometimes he plays the three or the five in emergency situations. So he's been a huge part of, like, us finding some success over the last, 6 weeks or so. And then it's literally been, getting a little bit healthier. We had Torian Prince come back. D'Angelo's been playing really well. So it's kind of like, every night it looks a little different. That's kind of one thing that as a coach scares you a bit. But, when we have all the guys chipping in, we've been able to cover up some holes.
Chris Finch talking about his team, the Minnesota T-Wolves. You mentioned D'Angelo Russell. Chris went for 30 last night. And he's had a really intriguing career, right, since being the number two pick overall in 2015. He was an all-star in 2019. Where do you think he is at this stage of his career?
Yeah, I think he's really comfortable with who he is. He's got a unique game. He's a guy who can create his own offense. As he's trended to take way more efficient shots, particularly his catch and shoot is at a high level right now. One of the best passing playmaking guys that I've ever been around. And sometimes he will battle himself a little bit, whether he wants to score or create, but he can really do both at a high level. What I've been happy with over the last month or so is his defense. His defense, his physicality, his competitiveness, that's kind of taken a step forward for us. He's been a guy who's been a huge part of our new construct since Cat went down. He really stepped forward for us.
Chris, I think that it goes without saying, but your path to the NBA really is fascinating. After being a Division III All-American at Franklin and Marshall College in Pennsylvania, you wound up playing and then coaching in England. You followed that with coaching stints in Germany and Belgium. I mean, what were those years like, and what were your biggest takeaways from your time there?
Yeah, I mean, those are super formative experiences, really. I mean, of course, I never thought I would to play, and I didn't really think I'd ever coach in the NBA, to be honest with you. I just kind of focused on being really good at wherever I was. Always led to kind of better opportunities. Was fortunate at the right time to benefit from some circumstances. When I was over in Europe, like the games between the United States and Europe were kind of meshing at a high level. Players, coaches, coaching idea, concepts, philosophies were really being exchanged because of like a mixture of style of plays going on. So that was really fun. Always fortunate to work in creative environments or environments where you're kind of maybe don't have the biggest budget or the most, most complete roster. So it forces you to be creative. Kind of leaned into that and that paid off. And, coaching in Europe is a very, emotionally driven environment. I mean, they hire and fire people like kind of willy-nilly and you just feel like every night you're coaching for your job. But at the end of the day, it's a hard way to make a living, but it does sharpen your resolve and sharpens your approach and forces you to kind of like figure some things out on the fly in a hurry.
I think that's actually fascinating what you just said. And then the first part of that, Chris, before you go, I really like what you said about I never actually saw myself coaching or playing in the NBA, but here you are. I think people kind of scoff at that notion of process, focus on the process and not the results. But is that not what got you where you are right now, that you were focused on the process or, to your point, doing the best you could at what you were doing in any given moment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always knew I wanted to be a coach. I always thought it would be at a college, maybe even a small college. That was kind of my background. But, you know, I just kept following my nose, I was lucky to work for some really good organizations overseas, which that had stability, that allowed me to kind of try and fail and rebuild and get going again the following year and then start stacking some success on top of each other. But, you know, at that point, yeah, I was like, I was able to attract enough attention to get another chance doing something. I always bet on myself. I never chased money. I always chased opportunity. I figured money would come if you were good enough at what you did. And I didn't really, it wasn't about like keeping my eye on jobs all over the place. It was basically like betting on myself when bigger things came along, even though they might have been riskier.
I actually love that too, that you were chasing opportunity and not money and betting on yourself. A lot of really good lessons in there, really good energy. He is the head coach of the T-Wolves. He is in his third season there. They're at New Orleans tomorrow night. He is Chris Finch. Glad we got caught up, Chris. Great job. Really nice to have you on. Thanks for making time, and always good to talk to you.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Chris. Thank you. Chris Finch. A lot of great tidbits in that. I like that. I like that a lot.